WBAI News in New York, I'm Linda Perry with some of the news for Monday, July 31st, 2017. Donald Trump is threatening to let Obamacare, the Affordable Health Care Act, implode by ending required payments to insurers if Congress doesn't act soon. The subsidies, totaling about $7 billion a year, help reduce deductibles and co-payments for consumers with modest incomes. The Obama administration used its rulemaking authority to set direct payments to insurers to help offset these costs. Trump inherited the payment structure, but he also has the power to end them. Trump's threats come after a defeat of a GOP bill to repeal Obamacare, delivered to the Senate at 10 p.m. on Thursday evening and voted on at around 2 a.m. on Friday morning. Three Republican senators voted against it: Arizona Senator John McCain, Susan Collins of Maine, and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, along with all Democratic senators. Republicans hold a 52-48 majority in the Senate. This defeat set off Donald Trump, who in a series of tweets denounced the ACA. He said, "Don't give up, Republican senators. The world is watching. Repeal and replace and go to 51 votes per nuke option. Get cross-state lines and more." Today, in a tweet, he repeated, "Don't give up, Republican senators. The world is watching. Repeal and replace." This weekend, women gathered in front of Trump Tower in New York City to continue a fight against Trump Care. Karen, a New York-based artist, joined the protest because of her children and her grandchildren. She says affordable health care is really important for their future.
"I'm afraid that Trump will sabotage anybody's efforts to do anything. I'm afraid that the Congress has lost its compass and doesn't remember that it's here to serve the people, not its party. And it really disturbs me. I've never been so upset about the government in my entire long life. And I really, I'm terrified. And I'm terrified for my family's future and everyone's family's future. I honestly think that this is an X-rated administration. The idea of them actually saying the stuff that they're saying in public, on television, in the media, I think is so terribly offensive. I have little grandsons who, fortunately, are too young to be in the Boy Scouts, but that jamboree was horrible, that speech he gave. And the mooch, oh my God, I mean, it's like you can't let children hear this, but this healthcare thing is so important. It affects the whole country. It's, it will affect our quality of life and the economy and all of our hopes and dreams and anybody's, you know, dignity. It's just, I can't say anything more about it. Thanks for giving me a little stage."
Barbara, a New York psychologist, is very worried about people having access to psychological and physical health care services.
"I'm very worried about eliminating Obamacare. I feel Obamacare should be strengthened, and I believe in health care for all."
Like the New York artist, the psychologist has been concerned about sabotage by the Trump administration.
"That's already happening. If you go on to the federal site for the ACA, it's very anti-ACA, and there's videos that are anti the ACA. So I am concerned. I'm here because I want to make sure that the Congress continues to fund all the necessary elements to keep Obamacare alive. And then I'm hoping they'll work together in a bipartisan manner to strengthen the ACA with the idea that health insurance should be available for everyone. It's not a privilege, it's a right. It's a human right."
And students here in New York are very worried.
I'm Ilana Rothman. I'm a student. I'm here just because this is incredibly important. I mean, this affects basically everyone, and just I just don't understand how people can be so blind as to not so caught up in their own privilege that they can't understand why this is important.
My name is Imani. I'm a student. There are so many things here that I have to, that I stand for, and so many things that I represent, and I feel like I have to like help make a difference in the world because there are so many things that are against me. So
Barbara says activism, getting involved, is what's needed.
For instance, I sent emails to Senator Collins, Senator Murkowski, I hope I pronounce that correctly, and Senator McCain, thanking them. I think it's very important for us to keep on letting the Democratic congressmen and senators and the people voting to keep Obamacare, we have to keep on thanking them and telling them this is important and that the majority of American people want health insurance for all Americans.
And you're listening to the news on listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifica Radio. This is WBAI in New York. Your racially coded call for police violence is shameful. We need a better deal on justice, not a worse one. That's the message from the Congressional Black Caucus after Donald Trump gave a speech at a Suffolk County Community College to an audience of law enforcement professionals. He was speaking out against M13 gang activity on the island, but he sent out a message that cops shouldn't go easy on people they are arresting.
Right now, we have less than 6,000 enforcement and removal officers in ICE. This is not enough to protect a nation of more than 320 million people. It's essential that Congress fund another 10,000 ICE officers, and we're asking for that, so that we can eliminate MS-13 and root out the criminal cartels from our country. Now, we're getting them out anyway, but we'd like to get them out a lot faster. And when you see these towns and when you see these thugs being thrown into the back of a paddy wagon, you just see them thrown in, rough. I said, please don't be too nice. Like when you guys put somebody in the car and you're protecting their head, you know, the way you put their hand over. Like, don't hit their head and they've just killed somebody, don't hit their head. I said, you can take the hand away, okay? It's essential that Congress fund hundreds more federal immigration judges and prosecutors, and we need them quickly, quickly, if we're going to dismantle these deadly networks. And I have to tell you, you know, the laws are so horrendously stacked against us because for years and years they've been made to protect the criminal.
Donald Trump saying violence committed by M13 gang members justifies a rough police response was denounced by police chiefs around the country. NYPD Commissioner James O'Neill said to suggest police officers apply any standard in the use of force other than what is reasonable and necessary is irresponsible, unprofessional, and sends the wrong message to law enforcement as well as the public. Some see Trump's stance of guilt rather than the presumption of innocence as a reminder of how he treated the Central Park Five, charged in the infamous Central Park jogger case. The teens were later exonerated, but Trump, back in 1989, placed ads in the New York Times calling for the return of the death penalty for the innocent youth. In other news, Anthony Scaramucci is out as White House Communications Director after just 11 days on the job. Scaramucci, in a conversation with a New Yorker reporter, Ryan Lizza, using very salty language last week, blamed Reince Priebus for White House leaks. The exchange was published in an article entitled, Anthony Scaramucci Called Me to Unload About White House Leakers, Reince Priebus and Steve Bannon. Following this, Trump replaced Priebus with retired General John Kelly, a military man in the center of White House decision-making. Kelly, who was Trump's Homeland Security Secretary, says he's honored to be asked to take the job. Today he was sworn in. The 67-year-old was with the Marines for 40 years. He spent three tours in Iraq. He was Homeland Security Secretary for just 6 months. He's a strong supporter of Donald Trump's travel ban. A White House announcement said Scaramucci was leaving because he felt it was best to give Chief of Staff John Kelly a clean slate and the ability to build his own team. The two-sentence release concluded, "We wish him all the best." Earlier in the Oval Office ceremony, Trump predicted Kelly would do a spectacular job, and Trump chose to highlight the rising stock market and positive jobs outlook rather than talk about how things might need to change in his White House under Kelly. In other news, all assets of Nicolas Maduro subject to U.S. jurisdiction are frozen and U.S. persons are prohibited from dealing with him. That's the word from the U.S. Treasury after a Sunday vote where over 8 million people voted for a new legislative super body, which is expected to give the ruling Socialist Party in Venezuela sweeping powers. President Maduro today celebrated the victory and he mocked U.S. criticism that the vote was an affront to democracy. Meanwhile, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, along with National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster, badmouthed Venezuela at the White House press briefing today.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I thought it might be best just to read the president's statement. Since President Trump's inauguration, the Trump administration has called on Venezuela's Maduro regime to respect Venezuela's constitution, respect the role and authorities of the constitutionally established National Assembly, hold free and fair elections, address the humanitarian needs of the Venezuelan people, release political prisoners, and stop oppressing its great people. The regime has refused to heed this call, and its recent actions, culminating in yesterday's outrageous seizure of absolute power through the sham election of the National Constituent Assembly, represent a very serious blow to democracy in our hemisphere. Maduro is not just a bad leader, he is now a dictator. The United States stands with the people of Venezuela in the face of this oppression. We will work with our partners to hold accountable all those responsible for the escalating violence and ongoing human rights violations. The president promised strong and swift actions if the regime went forward with imposing the National Constituent Assembly on the Venezuelan people. And he will keep that promise. Secretary Mnuchin.
Thank you, General. Today, the United States is broadening its effort to address the ongoing assault on Venezuela's democratic institutions by the Maduro regime. Treasury's Office of Foreign Assets Control, OFAC, has sanctioned the president of Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro Moros. As a result of today's sanctions, all assets of Maduro subject to U.S. jurisdiction are frozen, and U.S. persons are prohibited from dealing with him. As President Trump said earlier this month, the strong and courageous actions by the Venezuelan people to stand for democracy, freedom, and the rule of law have been continually ignored by Nicolas Maduro, who dreams of becoming a dictator. Yesterday's illegitimate elections confirm that Maduro is a dictator who disregards the will of the Venezuelan people. The National Constituent Assembly aspires illegitimately to usurp the constitutional role of democratically elected National Assembly, rewrite the Constitution, and impose an authoritarian regime on the people. As such, it represents a rupture in Venezuela's constitutional and democratic order. By sanctioning Maduro, the United States makes clear our opposition to the policies of his regime and the support for the people of Venezuela, who strive to return their country to a full and prosperous democracy. As the country's head of state, Maduro is directly responsible for Venezuela's dissent and for the destruction of democracy. Adding Maduro to OFAC's list of specially designated national reflects our commitment to not stand by idly as Venezuela continues to crumble under the regime's abuses. We hope that these sanctions will make all Maduro regime officials reconsider how their actions have affected their country. These actions highlight the high cost and personal repercussions and enablers of this regime could face if they continue their reckless and undemocratic activities. Anyone who participates in this illegitimate ANC could be exposed to future U.S. sanctions for their role in undermining democratic process and institutions in Venezuela. Now we'll take a few questions.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Secretary. If these sanctions don't work, what would the next step be? And I guess, General McMaster, a question to you. Have we ruled out or is anything on the table other than economic sanctions?
Well, let me just say, I said this generally. We very much believe that sanctions do work, and we will continue to monitor the situation and consider additional sanctions.
And to General McMaster?
The president has prioritized really his concern for the Venezuelan people. And so he's only considering those options which would benefit directly the Venezuelan people.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
How many times has OFAC sanctioned the head of state before? And does Maduro have any assets in the U.S.?
I can't comment on his assets, and this will be the fourth head of state.
Mr. Secretary,
yes. Thank you very much. I have two questions, one on the sanctions and another one about the election yesterday. And about the election, I want to know if you see the election as an attempt by Nicolas Maduro to consolidate power and dismiss election next year. And also, some say, especially the opposition and also the Washington Post editorial board say that the Venezuela regime is on the direction of a coup. Is moving to the direction of a coup. Does the American government fear there is a coup underway in Venezuela? And then the question on sanctions I asked after.
Well, what we're seeing in Venezuela is not a coup. What we're seeing is the brutal oppression of the Venezuelan people. And so it's clear if you contrast the turnout from the opposition referendum to the very low numbers of the turnout during this farce associated with the Constituent Assembly, I think you see what the true desires of the Venezuelan people are.
Okay,
thank you, sir. Actually, it's supposed to either or both of you. How is this different from what happened in Turkey when President Erdogan also seized expanded powers in a referendum that some considered to have a questionable result? President Trump congratulated President Erdogan on that, and he later came to the U.S. and his people beat protesters in front of his embassy. What's the difference?
Well, I mean, one difference is you see the end of the Constitution in Venezuela, and this is happening obviously at an accelerated pace in recent months in the Maduro regime. But this is a process that has taken really two regimes to really restrict Venezuelan democracy. And by designating Maduro himself, he joins a very exclusive club, including Mr. Mugabe, Bashar al-Assad, and Kim Jong-un, in terms of the brutal repression of his people, and in this case the abrogation of the Constitution with the Constitutional Assembly.
Is the administration contemplating any action at the UN Security Council in terms of multilateral sanctions against the Maduro regime?
Again, I think as we've said before, this president is not going to advertise what he's going to do in the future. So all options are on the table, and we will consider everything.
And two other allies of the U.S. in terms of punishing the Maduro regime. General, can you please answer that?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
Have you spoken to any other American allies about the issue of punishing
You see in the president's statement, he said we're going to continue to work with our partners in the region, and there have been many leaders who have taken a very important role in this connection with trying to engage Maduro to get him to moderate his behavior, to get him to protect the rights of his people. As you know, the Organization of American States has tried very hard in this area as well. And so the president is committed to working with partners in the region on behalf of the Venezuelan people.
And we had several countries last week join us in our previous sanctions. Yes, right here.
Conversations, Secretary Mnuchin, have you had, or has the administration had, or the president had, with President Maduro or anybody at the senior level in Venezuela? Do you expect those conversations to happen over the next 24, 48 hours?
I think we're not going to comment on that.
Thank you, sir. You had said before, the president had promised strong and swift economic sanctions. This is not really economic. This is more individual. Will the president carry out strong and swift economic sanctions?
Again, we had a series of sanctions last week. This is an additional sanction today. We don't comment on future sanctions, but we will continue to monitor the situation and determine what's appropriate.
Secretary,
right here.
There was some talk of maybe making some changes in terms of our export of light crude oil to Venezuela or curbing Venezuelan oil imports. Is that still on the table, or is that something that would be seen as hurting the Venezuelan people?
Let me just say, as we continue to monitor this situation, we will continue to review all of our options. Our objective is not to do anything that hurts the people of Venezuela, but let me just say, we will continue to monitor all of our specific options.
And would sanctions against oil hurt the
Venezuelan
people?
I'm not going to comment on that. What I will say is we will monitor all of our options.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. 16 years ago, Secretary Powell signed an agreement in South America in which the U.S. completely ruled out support of coups that would have an indirect change of government throughout Latin America and supported direct succession. This occurred in Haiti when President Aristide was overthrown. Are you still abiding by the agreement Secretary Powell signed and ruling out any U.S. support of a coup or an uprising against the Maduro regime that brings in new leadership?
Again, I'm just going to comment on we are focused on the democratic process, and that's what we're focused on right now. Let's take one more question. Right here, more question.
Are there going to be sanctions on the Minister of Defense or people linked to the military?
Again, as I've said, we've announced sanctions. We will continue to monitor the situation and consider everything in the future. Thank you, everybody.
The White
Appreciate
House
it.
Press Corps questioning Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin and National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster on sanctions against Venezuela and President Maduro and whether or not there's a coup underway. This was at today's White House briefing. And that's the WBAI Evening News for Monday, July 31st, 2017. The news was produced with Akeem Killick and Reggie Johnson. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.
Viva Venezuela, mi patria querida. Quien la libertó, mi hermano, fue Simón Bolívar. Viva Venezuela, mi patria querida. Quien la libertó, mi hermano, fue Simón Bolívar.
Viva Venezuela, mi patria querida. Quien la libertó, mi hermano, fue Simón Bolívar.
Doscientos años de gloria, da mérito a tu valor. Imploramos tu grandeza, Bolívar libertador. 200 años de gloria, da mérito a tu valor. Imploramos tu grandeza, Bolívar libertador.
Mi patria querida, quien la libertó, mi hermano, fue Simón Bolívar. Viva Venezuela, mi patria querida, quien la libertó, mi hermano, fue Simón Bolívar.
Para defender la patria, nos hace fuerte la unión. Somos una misma sangre, con un solo corazón.
los sueños de construir una patria que sea libre y soberana, llena de amor y bonanza. Cabalgaremos los sueños de construir una patria que sea libre y soberana, llena de amor y bonanza.
¡Viva Venezuela, mi patria querida!
Somos una amenaza. Venezuela es solidaria, tierra de paz y esperanza. Venezuela es luz de vida. No somos una amenaza. Venezuela es solidaria, tierra de paz y esperanza.
Venezuela, mi patria querida.
Patria querida, viva la paz de los pueblos.